The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Well, I tell you, I would be happier, but I have just read the comments coming in from Columbia University, where the president of Malaysia has just concluded his speech to students there, and it's absolutely outrageous. This is just as of 9 minutes ago. Can I read them out for you, Kath?
Yeah, maybe read the president's comments.
Okay, so one would have hoped that he would have learned, or Columbia University at least would have learned from the fiasco following Ahmadinejad being allowed to address Columbia University and the outcry, and also the current climate of anti-Semitism. But Malaysian PM Mahathir Mohamad has said that he's actually glad to be labelled an anti-Semite, and he denied that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. And he said that he's exercising his right to free speech. He says, why is it that I can't say something against the Jews when a lot of people say nasty things about me and about Malaysia? Well, I don't even know where to begin with these comparisons. I mean, you can't compare people saying something nasty about him to Holocaust denouncing, denying that a genocide happened. But it's very, very concerning that Columbia University, after hosting previous Holocaust denier Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the former leader of Iran, would allow for this to happen. Just a couple of kilometers away from the United Nations, where the United Nations just in the last couple of weeks have given out their report on anti-Semitism.
It's kind of remarkable to me, Rolene, in a city of 6 million Jews, New York, a university with over 10,000 Jewish students, that they would extend an invitation to a man who is proud to call himself an anti-Semite. I just do not understand it. I don't know what the agenda is, and it makes no sense to me. But hey, that's just me. You alluded to a terrorist attack in Modi Inn. Is that correct? I haven't seen that anywhere. What happened, Rolene?
That is correct. That was earlier this afternoon, about 2 hours ago. A 20-year-old woman was stabbed in the upper body by a 14-year-old Palestinian boy. He has subsequently been apprehended. Thank goodness she wasn't seriously injured. But yes, a terror attack taking place just outside the entrance to my city, in fact, on the 443, as you come out of Modi Inn, whoever is familiar with Modi Inn will know that there are two entrances, one with a massive, massive flag. I mean, really, we found the biggest Israeli flag one could possibly find. That is the entrance closest to Jerusalem, and right outside there, a Palestinian youth stabbing a 20-year-old a woman who has subsequently been.
We need to chat about Abbas and the talk of holding elections in the Palestinian territories.
Well, just before we get to Abbas, we do have word that both Benny Gantz and Benjamin Netanyahu have arrived at the residence of President Reuven Rivlin, and they've arrived for dinner with the president, and he has said that by 8 o'clock tonight we will know who will be tasked with forming the new government. Rumor had it this morning that he would tap Prime Minister Netanyahu, and all sorts of conjecture. Will it be Netanyahu first, with perhaps Gantz serving a longer term as Prime Minister? We will only know when we know, but the two party leaders have arrived for these talks. And Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, in his speech to the United Nations today, said that he will hold elections. Now, this is quite incredible because he is in the 15th year of his four-year term. So
right.
One just wonders yes. When these democratic elections are going to be held. And he said, he blamed Hamas that's the reason why they haven't had elections. But he says that as soon as he returns to Palestine, he will call parliamentary elections and specify a date and begin formal preparations. And this is, as per his speech and as per a senior official in his office. And, you know, this is not the first time that he has threatened to hold democratic elections. But so all bets are on. We will see that when he goes and when he returns back to Ramallah. He also promised this in December 2018. He promised to hold parliamentary elections within 6 months. We're still waiting for that.
Ro,
I don't know what we're waiting for longer.
Do you think perhaps that he is concerned that were he to hold free elections that Hamas might in fact do very, very well in the West Bank?
I think that he is worried. I think that he is worried that they could eclipse him with power.
Yeah.
And I think this is the reason why he is stalling.
Okay, interesting. Let's talk about the Turkish president, prime minister, I'm not sure which, Mr. Erdogan, who took advantage of his slot at the UN yesterday to Israel bash in the extreme. How did that go down in Israel?
Well, he actually bashed Israel twice yesterday, and I don't know what we should be more offended by, Simon, the fact that he bashed us or the fact that he's stolen Prime Minister Netanyahu's propensity for using props during his speeches. But let's look at the issues here. The first issue was in a meeting held, you know, on the sidelines of the UNGA. You know, very often a lot of countries take advantage of the opportunity that while they're there to have meetings and talks with each other. And in a meeting, he compared Israel's policies in Gaza to the Nazi treatment of Jews. And if this did not anger Israelis enough, he used his speech at the UN to take out his map in which he said that Israel has expansionist aims. In fact, he said the Palestinian territory under Israeli occupation has become one of the most striking places of injustice. And you can be sure that Prime Minister Netanyahu answered him and said, you know, basically he who is slaughtering Kurds and denies the massacre of the Armenians and who lies about Israel should not preach to Israel, and that he should be ashamed and that he should stop lying.
Rolina, a story that we didn't have time for yesterday, I'd love you to address today. It was the issue of the UK Labour Party adopting some very strongly anti-Israel positions. The fact that they're possibly a government in waiting makes that a little frightening. What did they do yesterday?
It does, and it is of grave concern, but the British Labour Party had their conference over the weekend, which many saw was an excuse to trot out every anti-Israel activist in the UK. Incidentally, Omar Barghouti, who was the leader of the BDS movement, was denied a visa by the UK to enter and speak at this conference. But several resolutions were voted on, including that they would, if they came to power, they would oppose or stop British arms sales to Israel. And just a couple of days ago, the Israeli Air Force, in conjunction with the Royal Air Force and Air Force from Greece and Germany, participated in a training, thing together.
Exercise.
I'm using my vocab. Exercise, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. But they also said that they would vote on trade issues, which we could read into that possible divestment, and that they would support a Palestinian right of return. So a lot of concerns.
Yeah.
This from the Labour Party, who seems to be making no effort at dealing with accusations of anti-Semitism within their ranks, and this just bolsters these claims.
Ro, very, very quickly, because we are out of town, a listener, Jonathan, has SMS'd us and said, thankfully, we now have Ambassador Kelly Kraft, who is apparently pro-Israel, as the new ambassador of the U.S. to the U.N. Would you concur with that thought?
She was absolutely outstanding. Just days ago, she gave her first address to the plenary and made it very, very clear that she is taking a leaf out of the former ambassador, Nikki Haley. She used the exact same language, and I think Kelly Craft will be a great friend to the state of Israel and to the Jewish people.
Rolene Marks, thank you so much. As always, look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.